Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Start your summer road trip at Midas and get up to $30 off your next repair service. Plus, get a free closer look vehicle check to make sure you're road trip ready. If you need brake service, an alignment check, or tune-up, hit up Midas for up to $30 off. For more details, request your appointment at Midas.com.
VoiceOver Coffee Shop, episode number 59.
Welcome to the VoiceOver Coffee Shop, where we share our morning with some of the finest names in voiceover. And now, here's your host, voice actor Andrew Morrison.
Hi there. My name is Andrew Morrison, and welcome to the VoiceOver Coffee Shop, where we start our day with some of the finest names in voiceover. If you'd like to get to know a little bit more about me, feel free to visit my website at andrewdmorrison.com. In this episode, we have a true down-to-earth blue-collar voiceover talent who really epitomizes the true heart of smooth Southern sound. With clients ranging from Shell and T-Mobile to Topgolf and ESPN, Troy Holden has lent his authentic self to the stories of many of today's top brands. In this episode, we talk about finding work in odd places, the patience of direct marketing, podcasting, and riding the trails of Nashville. Hey, Troy, how are you doing today, man?
Man, I am doing fantastic. How about you?
I'm doing awesome. Good. So how do you take your coffee in the morning?
Well, I am a, I don't know, looks like my camera went out. I am a huge fan of this gigantic cup, and I fill it up with two cups of coffee, and I use Italian sweet cream, sugar free.
Gotcha.
And
okay,
a pretty good dose of it and a couple of packs of Equal, and I'm good to go. And I'll fill this thing up at least twice a day.
Doesn't sound like a bad way to start the day.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
No,
gotta have it.
It depends, man. Some days I'll be like, nah, it's a one cup kind of day, and some days it's a one pot kind of day.
So yeah, exactly.
Sometimes you need an afternoon pickup, especially when pickups start coming in our email.
Exactly. Now, do you slow up on coffee as the weather warms up, or does it stay the same?
No, not necessarily. It really depends on my workload. So if I have a lot to voice, then I'll slow down. If I have a lot of like administrative stuff, like I'm going to work on my website and work on my branding and work on this, and I've got a bunch of emails and some marketing to do, then like I'll drink a little bit more throughout the day.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So how did you get your start into this world of voiceover?
Well, I accidentally walked into voiceover. Although if I go back to when I was a kid, I had at the age of 6 or 7, I got one of those Panasonic cassette recorders for Christmas. Yeah. And I loved listening to the Atlanta Braves, and it was Milo Hamilton and Ernie Johnson back in the day. And this is back in the early 70s.
Okay.
So I would take my tape recorder as a little kid, and I would record play by play, and I'd read the ads out of the newspaper. And as I grew up, all I could think about was being on the radio. I wanted to be a DJ. And when I was a senior in high school, my dad took me down to Nashville, to the Nashville School of Broadcasting, and we walked through it, and we came out, and he said, there's no way I'm going to pay for you to go in there and do what they're doing. You're going to college. I thought, well, I can learn to do this in college. And after the first year in mass comm, I quickly learned that you're not going to make any freaking money. You're going to starve to death.
Right.
So I got a business degree, and I went off into that world. And here we are 30 some odd years later, after doing some other creative things like having a country music band. I was in gospel music for a while, and then of course working all that time, and the pandemic hits. And like a lot of people, I was looking for other things to do from home. I was at home, and they called me from work and they said, hey, we want to make videos when people come back to work and instruct them what to do. You know, stay 6 feet apart and only do this and only so many in the restroom. So we made the videos and they asked me to voice them. And after we got them done, they were pretty rough, but they were okay. And the lady in HR said, you know, you can make a living doing this. And I said, please show me how. So that's how I got into it. I just started digging in from there and watching lots of different people and learning probably a lot of the wrong things, and just jumped in with, you know, both feet and hit the ground running. And that was May of 2020. And by July 2020, I decided, well, I'm going to get on some of these free platforms. Mm-hmm. And I started doing that and started booking work pretty fast. I was surprised. And my audio was terrible. I don't know how I booked anything, but gotcha. Every penny I made, I just reinvested and kept going, and it kept getting better and better. And the jobs got better and the education got better. And that surely made it better. So
were you booking all of your work off pay to play sites, or did you start like direct marketing right out the gate, or were you using like some of those connections from other companies you would work with?
No, I was one of those people who got into some Facebook groups and I didn't know any better. So where do I go first? I go right to Fiverr and Upwork.
Gotcha.
And that was where I started. And I learned a lot, because in the course of the first year, I did somewhere between 2,000 and 3,000 YouTube narrations.
Wow.
So I learned a lot.
Exhausting.
About reading and editing. Yes. And you're not making a ton of money at it, but I was able to reinvest that. I could build a booth. I was able to buy a better mic. I was able to go get coaching. And as I got coaching and learned how to get away from that, then I jumped on voices.com and started doing okay there. Then I later went to Voice123, and then in the second year was able to pick up a couple of agents. So it was a grind, and I didn't really start direct marketing until the middle of last year, which was halfway through my first year full time. That was when I really started the marketing hard, because I realized you got to have all these spokes in the wheel, and the ones I had in the wheel were very vulnerable, and I needed something more stable that I could control and manage. You can't control the terms of service on some of these platforms. And if you accidentally say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing,
right,
you can be in a lot of trouble and get kicked off, and there goes your stream. So,
right.
Yeah, there's a lot of crazy things that can happen.
And so you've built like a lot of direct, you've built a lot of clientele through utilizing those different platforms and through direct marketing. But like, mm-hmm. as of like this year, mm-hmm. where have most of your new clients been coming from? Have they been coming through the direct marketing approaches
yes.
you've been using, or are they still
yes.
coming through agents or?
It's B2B? Mainly direct marketing. I'm very targeted with my marketing. A lot of people want to get thousands and thousands of emails out. They've got systems working and they're reaching out to everybody. I very specifically target the Southeast. I go after Tennessee, Kentucky, Alabama, Florida, Georgia, Mississippi, Texas, North and South Carolina, Virginia, West Virginia, because my general accent, and if I try hard, I can neutralize somewhat, but I really have to try. But my general accent is more accepted in those areas. So if you're doing e-learning, for example, and you work for, let's say, one of these automotive companies here in the South, you don't really, as an employee, want to hear some guy with a very strong Northern accent instructing you on what to do.
Right.
And so that was my take. I worked in those companies. I knew what people liked and didn't like. So I went after that, and that was a genre. Same thing with automotive. You know, I'm not going to sell Audis and Mercedes, but Ford trucks and Chevy trucks. Yeah, that's, you know, so I'm going after Southern automotive dealers at the tier 3 level to try to get that stuff. And as I focused on that type of marketing, about November of last year, I started getting those leads started to happen. For a couple of months, nothing happened. And I'm like, geez, this is a waste of time.
Yeah.
But it's something you got to be patient with. It's like a good soup. It's got to cook.
Oh, you know? Absolutely. No, I've been I've been doing like I'll do regular follow-ups, and I have everybody in a spreadsheet, and I'll send out my emails. But like I had somebody come to me recently who they didn't open or at least answer a single email that I had sent them within the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. But then they came back, they came to me and they emailed me from a different email and were like, "Hey, I got your emails. That company didn't have a use for you, but now I'm with this company.
There you go.
They do." Yeah, no, yeah. Direct marketing, you could book today, you could book who knows when.
Right. And I've booked off some platforms that people say, "I wouldn't waste my money on that platform. There's not really that much there." And the main one that I got great work off of was Backstage. Yeah, not a lot of people like it or use it. It's been around forever, but the voiceover jobs on there are odd. Sometimes they're far and few between, but one of my best clients came off of there. And it's repeat. I mean, they actually sent me an email yesterday. "Hey, you ready to do another spot?" And I'm like, "I can't wait," you know, cause I love doing their stuff. And then the other thing I've noticed with it is, like you said, they don't respond or reply, but then all of a sudden when they need you, they remember, "Hey, you know," cause I make sure I send some samples now and then, you know, here's a project I worked on for so-and-so and, you know, blah, 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 blah. And it's kind of interesting. And here's a, you know, 10-second snippet and they'll hear that and it may apply to something they have coming up. So you just never know. You gotta throw it all out there and see what happens.
Yeah. So what do you, with so many people flooding into the voiceover industry, I know your voice type fits something very niche, but like what other things are you doing to stay competitive?
I do work with a dialect coach, and we had worked on developing a, what we just call a Gen M character. So instead of me being myself, I become a character, and we named him Charles. That's my first name. And Charles will do some of the auditions that say neutral or, you know, Midwestern or whatever. I do oddly book a lot of video game stuff, trailers. I used to do several trailers and that tailed off, but here lately I've been doing a lot more, you know, character work and that mainly coming through voices.com. Which was a bit of a surprise. I love doing the acting and I love the, you know, the fun with all of that. I've booked, animations. I've booked, an animated film producer out in California has had me in three different films that he's done where I was a lead character, and he's a retired detective and he's got a blind dog and he wanted that old gruff sounding voice, you know, and that's been stuff like that's fantastic. So I try not to, although I do have a niche voice, I try not to niche what I can do with it.
Right. Don't pigeonhole yourself. Yeah.
Right. And it surprises me sometimes. I narrate a space channel. I still have that one YouTube channel, but this guy pays great because they get millions of views and lots of subscribers. And I read that thing in a very quiet documentary voice, and people comment on there all the time. Things like, "I never knew somebody with a Southern accent could even pronounce all these words," you know? So,
right.
And they say it's soothing to them. It's different, you know? Yeah. So where a lot of people say, "Well, I'm offended. He's got a Southern accent. I don't want to hear that." Some people say, "Ooh, that's different. I like that. That's soothing. It's relaxing." So I don't know. Like you said, you can't pigeonhole yourself. You got to throw it out there and see what happens. And sometimes you'll be surprised. I mean, during the Super Bowl, I landed a spot on a Topgolf commercial for ESPN.
Fantastic.
You know, how unlikely was that to happen for me? But they were looking for a quote, Pat Summerall sounding voice. Well, I never thought Pat Summerall had any Southern accent, you know, the old football announcer. So I just did it as best I could. And sure enough, got the call. I was actually showing my hillbilly self. I was actually up at a veterinarian getting a horse worked on, and they sent me a text, "Can you jump on a live in an hour?" And I'm like, maybe 2 hours.
Right.
But, you never know. You just never know.
Yeah. So what led you want to create the VO Life podcast?
Ooh, well, I felt a little bit of inspiration from a couple of other people who had Facebook groups that had started their their journey and kept it in their podcast. So I thought, well, I could do that. And I actually did three episodes that never aired called The Voiceover Rookie. And that was my thought at first, is I'll just talk about what I'm doing and where I'm going. And by the third episode, I thought, I got nothing else to talk about because that's as far as I'd gone. And I said, how do I do this? So I ended up partnering up with a guy, and we did, we started out with the Voiceover Ladder, and we did about 20 episodes, and then we kind of parted ways and we're doing our own thing. And so I changed the name to the VO Life, and it started out just following what I was doing. It was giving opinions, and I knew it would change. You know, my opinion on a professional demo in episode 25 or whatever episode it was, totally different from what it is now, because I've learned. And that's the thing, that people can go back and listen through that journey and hear, boy, he sure was stupid in those episodes, but he learned a little bit by episode 40. And then by episode 70, he kind of knows what he's doing. So now it's just more of, you know, interviews, editorials, I like to call them, I guess, because, you know, the one that came out last week was a big editorial, and working on one now for VO Mental Health, you know, kind of an editorial on that, because we all fight a lot of demons every week and every day. And we're seeing some things going on right now, you know, with other people. And man, it's just crazy. But it, it's, and it's fun. It's an outlet. I think part of it too is that radio thing I always wanted to do. So here's a podcast. It's almost like that. And I get to get on there and have fun and do the intros and outros and put silly stuff in there. So
it's all your content. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's fun. It's a lot of fun.
So did that, did the podcast come first, or did you doing the VO Life peer advice and those workshops, which one of those two came first?
The podcast was absolutely first. I didn't start the group up until about a year after I started the podcast, and the group stayed really small for a while, a couple hundred people. And then halfway through last year, it really exploded. I think we're up to about 1,600, 1,800 now. So it's, and it's not a, it's not one of those groups where you see tons and tons of activity, but I think people kind of watch for the post and see there's a lot of sharing that goes on in there. So it's kind of quiet, and I kind of like that. We don't have a lot of drama and a lot of back and forth in there. So.
Yeah. And you you're very specific on, I'm not a coach. I don't do coaching. This is peer to peer advice. Now I'm really curious, what is the, one of the most like asked questions you get from other peers that are like new in the industry and trying to come to you for advice?
It's a little bit of a mix of where do I start? What platform? And then it becomes, how do I put more spokes in my wheel? You know, the people are seeing now, I post a lot about direct marketing and how it works. I'm doing a little webinar next week, you know, for $10, they can come for 30 minutes. And I go through the process of how I do it without a CRM, without a lot of expense, how to get started, how to target, you know, a couple of hundred leads and get started. And I, now that's becoming a lot, because we're seeing, I think, a huge shift in that, to where there's a ton of people wanting to know about marketing and direct marketing. And it's a big subject. And, you know, we have some gurus in the business that have been doing it a long time. And I tell people, go to them if you want a set program. But if you're new and you just want to test it and try it, you know, I'll share what I can share with people so they can try it. I'm not, I don't do that kind of stuff to make money. I do it more to share, but it gets to a point to where if you're getting asked so many questions and you're getting bombarded so much, then you have
to organize it. At some point, organize it's an expense,
Yeah, you got to organize it. Because I even did a podcast a while back on that, saying, you know, be cordial with people. And it's not just me, but, you know, I can imagine what the, you know, the Bill DeWeese's and the guys that are coaches that are out there, Brad Hyland and all these people, I can imagine the messages they get, the private messages, and people, if they happen to get their number and call them or text them, don't bother them at night. Don't bother them on the weekend. You know, they got families, they got lives. And so that's why I'm doing some of this stuff and trying to structure it during the week. And I tell people I'm available on Friday night and Saturday night because my wife works night shift. So I have a block of time in there. People can block and talk to me or whatever, even on the weekend. But we all got to be cordial of that. It's tough. It can wear you out. I mean, it really can.
So, has there been anything that somebody has asked where you didn't know about it, and it kind of changed the way that you approached your business?
Yes, absolutely. And it had a lot to do with the realization one day that what if, let's say voices.com or Fiverr or whoever, even when you're in early, if they pull the plug on you and you're gone off their platform. That really made me realize that the direct marketing thing was so important. I just didn't see it for a while. Really, I didn't understand that was a good avenue. You hear the certain groups of people saying it's all agents and it's union and it's this and it's that. And then there's another group that's a lot of pay to play. And then there's another group that's a mix of pay to play marketing, this, that, local marketing, whatever. And I kind of decided, I think I'm going to fall into that bottom group because, yeah, I've got some agents, but what's that going to get me a month? 2-3% of what I make, maybe? And pay to play is going to get me what, another 10-15%? So, the last couple of months, March being a great example, 80% of my income was direct off direct marketing, direct business. Now, and when I say direct business, that could be somebody that came off of Voice 123 who now doesn't buy from 123, but it's a direct client. So my goal is to keep that somewhere between 50 and 75% a month if I can. It's tough, but I'm watching all the other stuff go away. 2 years ago, well, in a period of 18 months, I did almost $30,000 of work on Upwork. That's a decent amount of money. The last 3 months, goose egg, nothing. I don't do anything there anymore because I either move the clients off or they found me because of my name being on my profile and they came to me and wanted to buy direct. So, it's just, I think that was the big turning point for me when I realized don't put all your eggs in one basket or even two baskets. You better have a lot of baskets because it can move around.
And you said you're very focused in your direct marketing. How are you approaching people? You're not sending those big like mass emails. Hi, do you need a voiceover artist? How are you approaching your direct marketing?
I do some of that. If I see something or hear of something, during the week, if I'm going through LinkedIn and see something, or I see a post related to something, I may go dive into that and that becomes an individual email. But what I currently do is I send out a batch of quote unquote cold emails on the first of the month. I send out anything that I consider warm, somebody that's replied or inquired or whatever, that goes out also once a month. That's a different email. And it's just kind of farming all that and trying to keep, what's warm, what's cold, who dropped out, who unsubscribed, and stuff like that. I do try to buy some list, but I'm very pinpointed with that. I've got a guy that I use that supplies leads, and I'm very descriptive of I want these 8 states, and I'm looking for this job title, this job title, this job title, and I will bulk email some of that. But what I'm trying to do is just say, hey, my name's Troy. I'm a voice actor. Here's a sample or a link or blah, 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 or whatever. I don't think people, a lot of people say you need to engage and get to know them and build a relationship. I think you do that after. And maybe that's my opinion. I want them just to have interest enough to open the link. And here's the thing, they either like you or they don't. They hear your voice and they go, ooh, I like that. Or they hear it and they go, holy crap, no, not for us. A yes or a no is what I'm after. I'm not after making friends yet. If I get a yes, then I want to know more about them, more about their company, more about what they're doing. And those emails become individual and more friendly. But yeah, starting out like anything else, you're fishing, you're dropping a lot of lines and just trying to get a bite. And that's how I play it, right or wrong. Am I following the right rules? Probably not, but I mean,
I agree with you completely working. Because if you continue, because I believe there's a good balance in between the two, because you do need to make a relationship with a client. And when I say make relationships, I mean networking as a whole. So if I'm making a relationships prior to being a client of each other, then that's for my local chamber of commerce. That's for around town. You know what I mean? But I don't want to make friends with 100 people over email if the point of me emailing them was to produce, was to provide a service. If I'm not of use to you, then I would like to go provide my service to someone else. And I want to be easy to work with. I don't want to know all your kids' names, but I do want to consider you at least colleagues and friendly colleagues and build that kind of relationship with you.
And I've been on the other side for so long, after working in manufacturing for 30 some odd years, you know, I had vendors after me all the time, for guys that had forklifts, guys that sold hydraulic fluid, people that came into maintenance, the buildings, heat and air people. And the ones that could solve my problem are the ones that I wanted to work with, you know, and then, sure, we'd get to know them. They would come in and out of the building and say, "Hey, how you doing? How's the kids? How's this and that?" But it was a different level of relationship, you know, but starting out, I just wanted to see, what can you do for me? You know,
You're not invited to my daughter's wedding.
Exactly. Can you lower the cost? Can you make it better? Can you be here when I need you? Can you deliver? What's the difference? Whether it's a voiceover, heat and air, your tire repair guy, it's all the same. Solve my problem, you know, and that's what I'm trying to send in that email. If you need this, I can solve your problem. But
I think that's what fostering a business relationship is, because people think of the term relationship and they look at it as a broad spectrum, but there is a difference between a business relationship and a friend-like relationship.
Right. I agree.
So it's been like 3 years since you kind of first dove into this. How has your day-to-day work life changed from when you first started full-time in VO to today?
I have gotten a lot more structured since January of this year. The first year, it was a little willy-nilly. I was more worried about, am I going to make a living? You know, because I left a good six-figure job. I walked in October of 2020 and basically said, or I'm sorry, 2021, and basically said, in December, I'm going to retire. You know, I really wasn't old enough to retire, but I wanted to give some lead time. They could get somebody in or whatever. And it gave me time to hopefully save a little more money and be more prepared. But you still go into this blind in a way. So it started out for me. I'm like, okay, I don't have any work today. What am I going to do? So do I improve some things I have on the casting sites and upload more stuff? Do I work on more spots? And I did a lot of stuff just trying to guess at it. Continued to coach and do things and schedule. But really, when I got into this year, I really started implementing what I call time blocks. I know I need somewhere between an hour to 2 hours early in the morning to audition, because as you know, we got to get in quick. We got to get them in there, but we got to be good at what we get in there. And and I've got to read through, is this a fit for me or no? Nah, let's go to the next one and get all those in. So the first couple of the hours of the day, it's blocked. I have to do that, because if I don't, I'm not going to get jobs. Then it goes to, the marketing and the work and what you need to get done in the other 5 or 6 hours. So then I'll try to block at least an hour for, I'm checking emails. If there's work in there to do, if there's quick stuff to record, short jobs, quick jobs, whatever, knock that out. And then the rest of the day, it's more focused on if there's any longer term narrations to get done. I try to do those like between 1 and 3. Other jobs, you know, whatever, during whatever time, and I can move those blocks as needed. What if I got to go to the doctor? What if my wife's got to do this or that? And I say, well, that's going to plug in at 4 to 6 tonight, cause I'm not going to be here. So when I started plugging time blocks, I got more efficient. I started finding I had more time. I was getting things done and not stressing. First year was pretty stressful, because you think, you know, I need to make X number of dollars a month if I can. my wife works. She makes a good living. She's got the insurance. I don't worry about that stuff, but still I'm the man of the house. That's my job. You know, I need to be bringing that money in. Mm-hmm. So that first year was pretty scary, but, we did okay and got through, and my routines got better. The oddest thing, I guess, over the whole part of it was in 2021, mm-hmm. I made more money on voices.com than I did in 2022. Mm-hmm. Although I was full time in 2022 and auditioning faster and sooner. Mm-hmm. But in 2021, I think there were a lot less people on the platform.
Yeah.
They ran that, what was it, a $99 special or something. And it,
yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. It, I think it put a lot more people in the mix. Mm-hmm. And I do think that, you know, the people that are good, that see the stuff early and get it in early and they get heard and get chosen, even if there is 99 auditions. So, you know, it is what it is. But yeah, I think the organizing and time management has been my biggest impact for this year.
Yeah. You and me both, man. So what do you do outside of VO? Who is Troy? What do you enjoy doing other than taking your horse to the vet?
Well, we have 11 horses on the farm. Unfortunately, we had 12 and lost one back in February. 11 horses. There's 3 dogs here, 5 cats. We've got about 16 acres. So spring and summer, you're really busy because it's keeping fence rows clean, keeping fields cut. We feed horses every day, feeding supplements and stuff. They come up to the barn every day and we let them in and feed them. We love to go trail ride. We didn't do as much of that last year with all the stresses of starting a business and my wife changing shifts and adjusting to working nights on the weekend and being home during the week. But our plan this spring and summer is to several times get out and get on the trails and ride. We're not very far from Gatlinburg, a few hours away. We love to go up there in the fall and watch the leaves change and hang out up there for a week and things like that. And her daughter and my son have moved back in. So we've got the luxury of went from empty house to full house again. So we're trying to help them get on their feet and get everything going. So, in between that and voiceover and doing my local marketing and stuff here with the chamber, I've got a podcast with them as well here that's finally starting to pay off. That's another little marketing ploy I tried, and it just started to pay off. I actually landed a hospital here in the county, a pretty large hospital that I'm going to do some spots for them. So
fantastic.
Right. Yeah. Came directly through the chamber, but, that's our life. I mean, we're homebodies. We love to stay home. And a lot of people say, well, you go out to eat or anything? Well, heck yeah. We go to Waffle House every week. I thought everybody did.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's, you know, we're just simple people.
Gotcha. So if you were to write a letter to yourself and then send it back in time to when, before you even knew what voiceover was and when you were first getting introduced to it, mm-hmm. what would you tell your past self?
Dear Troy, it doesn't matter what it pays. Do what you love. And I would give that advice to anybody. Don't get painted into a position to where you have to work to make a living. And that really... I'm not going to say I never liked what I did. I was pretty good at it. It was logistics and purchasing, and I had a knack for it. I had a knack for building good teams and having good people around me to help me. But had I been able to do something like this from an early age and do it my entire life, I mean, these last 2 years, I've never been happier. Mm-hmm. I make less money, sure. I think I'll get there to where I was. I think this next year I'll see that I'm making more than I made in my manufacturing job. But it's not just the money. It's the satisfaction, being creative, and to be locked into a job to where you can be creative to a point, but not like I can now. You know, I can piece together videos for people. I can help them write spots, you know, and I can bring life to their project. And the creativity, it's just awesome. So it, you know, just dear Troy, don't be stupid again. You know, it didn't matter if it was a radio DJ job or whatever, it would have segued to where I am now, probably a lot quicker. And I would have had more interest in it quicker to learn about it, even though it was a different business back then.
Yeah. Fantastic. Where can people find you, and where can people find the VO Life podcast?
Well, the VO Life podcast is sold anywhere. Fine podcasts are sold, I think. We're on pretty well everywhere, Spotify, Apple, Google, pretty much anywhere. The VO Life group and Facebook, it's a private group, but feel free to jump in there and send in your I would like to join thing, and most people get in. And as far as everything else, it's Troy Holden Voices, whether it's Facebook, TikTok, website, everything, TroyHoldenVoices.com.
Beautiful. Well, thanks for coming on, man. This has been great.
Enjoyed it. Good to speak with you again. It was good seeing you in Atlanta. And let's keep rocking it.
I really hope you enjoyed listening to how Troy found a company's inner need and turned it into a passion he molded into a dream career. If you'd like to hear Troy's demos and get to know him a little bit more, visit his website at TroyHoldenVoices.com. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the VoiceOver Coffee Shop. For more information on guests, new episodes, and more, be sure to visit www.vocoffeeshop.com.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.